Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. 2 hours of hurricane talk coming up for you. Got a big game on Friday night against Virginia Tech, 7:30 kickoff at Hard Rock Stadium. It might be a little soggy again, but hoping for a big crowd. Got a little bit of a hurricane brewing on the West Coast. Not going to affect us except give us some rain, perhaps. But maybe by Friday, we'll have be able to dodge some of the thunderstorms. At any rate, we got a big game on Friday night with Virginia Tech coming to town. Coming up on the show tonight, we're going to hear from Hurricanes head coach Mario Cristobal, the Mario Cristobal Show coming up. Also, Tyler Barron and Simeon Barrow. We'll hear from those two guys. And then we'll pick up some comments from the Hurricane coordinators, Lance Guidry, Shannon Dawson, their thoughts on this week's game. Don Bailey Jr., of course, with us. And then we'll go big picture on college football. And Brett McMurphy will be joining us at about 7:35. So we've got a big show lined up for you here tonight. Trevor Harris is our producer. On this past weekend, Saturday, Hurricanes went over to South Florida, to Tampa, took on South Florida. It was fun. They had a great environment there. I think part of the reason they had a great environment there was because there were so many University of Miami fans at the game, which made things even more interesting. Great first half, very competitive game. Ultimately, Miami wore them down and made more big plays as the Canes continue to make one big play after another, tied for the nation's lead in plays of 15 yards or more. They did it again last Saturday night, and the result was a Miami 50-15 victory over South Florida. Go Grammatica, kicks it off. Johnson on the far side hash. Jordan Lyle the near side hash. Saturday afternoon turns into Saturday evening. Miami and South Florida for the seventh time. The crowd grows stronger. We're all set. The number eight team in the country puts their undefeated record on the line. And away we go! Ward's in the shotgun. Wide left to Colby George. Play clock is at four. Ward holds his hands out, takes, gives, Martinez runs left, dives, end zone, touchdown! Miami has the curtain raiser. Damian Martinez, 2 yards for a touchdown. The drive goes over 70 yards. It takes nearly 4 minutes in 8 plays, and the Hurricanes have their reward on a 3-yard touchdown by Damian Martinez, and it's 6-0 Miami. Cam Ward takes. Here comes a fake reverse. He's got a lot of pressure. He avoids it. Left flat. Caught Martinez. Ladder room. He's at the 40. Martinez to midfield to the 45 of South Florida. And he barrels to the 40 of USF. Damian Martinez in the left flat and takes it to the 40-yard line. First and goal for the 6. Ward comes toward the line of scrimmage and barks out his signals. Miami looking for a touchdown. Fake. Fires. End zone. Caught. Touchdown. Isaiah Horton got it. Touchdown, Miami. Hurricanes answering right back. Hurricanes delight for Isaiah Horton. Brown, he's going to throw for it. And Miami's got him.
Got him, baby.
Simeon Barrow got him back at the 22. Barrow overwhelmed him. Came in with 7 tackles, and now he has 2.5 sacks. One more play before the 2-minute timeout. Ward to throw. Fires down the left side. They caught.
Come on, baby.
Brown.
Come on,
he
baby.
Might go. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. At the 10. Then the 5. Into the end zone. It's a Miami touchdown. It's a Miami touchdown. It's a Hurricanes party. It's a Hurricanes party. 76 yards on the touchdown. And Miami reclaims the lead in Tampa. 3-man front for South Florida. Restrepo in motion. Right to left. Ward. his eyes drifting left and right. Takes the snap, looking for Restrepo. He throws underneath. Martinez has got it. Dives, he got it. The two-point conversion. Damian Martinez got it. And what a play by Ward. He just scans the field. Somehow, some way, he drops it off in the right flat for Martinez. And Miami gets the two-point conversion and leads it 22-15. Lofton and Martinez, top of the eye. Ward goes in under center. Carpenter will snap it. Ward takes, gives Martinez, and he walks into the end zone for a Miami touchdown. A drive that was superb. Miami takes control. The drive that worked to perfection and was beautifully done in 12 plays and 80 yards. And Miami leads it 28-15. Lofton in there with Martinez. Under center goes Ward. He takes, he gives. Martinez, he pile drives into the end zone for a touchdown. And for sure this time, it's a Miami Hurricane. It is 35-15.
Nothing better than power football.
Brown on a slant, Atkins got it. Going right to left, right down to 31. Mish Powell brings him down.
Mish Powell runs through the stiff arm. He just overwhelms Atkins at contact.
Second down and 10 from the Miami 13. Looking left is Archie, tight pocket, and down he goes.
They're going to get a sack.
Second to the 20-yard line. Maui Noah's in there, along with Simeon Barrow.
That big left tackle's about worn out.
You're seeing a slot to the left side. Play clock at two. Here comes a blitz. Fires. End zone. Meech Powell has it. Intercepted Miami. Here's the pass for Restrepo. He's got it for a touchdown. What a throw by Cam Ward. And a twisting catch by Restrepo for the touchdown. Ward delivers that one like magic and goes over 400 yards. And Miami now blowing out South Florida 42-15. Poffenbarger hands it away.
Sweeping left.
Jordan Lyle, he's got the 20, then the 30, then the 40. Look out, here we go. Jordan Lyle, he's got the 30, he's at the 20. Jordan Lyle to the 10, to the 5, and he takes it all the way home. 91 spectacular yards for Jordan Lyle. He delivers like magic, and that brings the curtains down on the show here in Tampa, 49-15. Mario Cristobal comes off the sidelines, and the Hurricanes, one-way traffic here in the second half. They run off 35 unanswered points, and it's a Miami Hurricane here tonight as they overwhelm South Florida. Miami 50, USF 15, and that is your final score.
Well, it was actually 36 straight points because I forgot the two-point conversion. But at any rate, it was a spectacular second half. Miami had 15 plays of 15 yards or more. They had 5 plays of 20 yards or more in the game. So they continue to pile on big plays. 605 yards of offense for the University of Miami per game. Cam Ward, 14 touchdowns this season. And Miami's averaging 52 points per game. So some savory numbers for the University of Miami. We talked all about that and Virginia Tech with University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zagacki with Don Bailey Jr. and University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. This week, the Hurricanes will be home against Virginia Tech, the 40th all-time meeting between the Hurricanes and the Hokies. Friday night football, Friday night under the lights at 7:30 at Hard Rock Stadium. Hope to see you there. Canes coming off a very impressive win, coach, against South Florida, 50-15. So many different things to talk about in this game. Let's start on the defensive side, because that was a whale of a defensive effort. They scored only one touchdown.
It was, and we knew going in it was going to be a tremendous challenge. So tremendous amount of credit to the players, to Coach Guidry and the coach for coming up with a scheme that allowed us, once we got our cleats in the ground, to start getting stops and change the momentum of the game and pitch the shutout in the second half.
Coach, I'm going to go right to the fan base. There was a lot of orange in the stands. I mean, that was a big game for USF, but the Hurricane fans traveled, and they showed that they can be loud and make it seem like a home stadium.
That brought back a lot of memories from being a player when coming out the tunnel and looking over to our side going, wait a second, this entire side is orange and green. You know, it was a great feeling, and I know our players really felt it and appreciated it.
What was it about your defense? You got off the field, you really stymied them on third downs, you made them one-dimensional.
ultimately it almost was like a two-man game between the quarterback and the one receiver. But what were some of the things that carried the day for you defensively?
Sure. Well, allowing 1.9 yards a carry was huge, right? Because all of a sudden it's third and seven, third and eight, third and nine. And now that's, you know, that plays more in our wheelhouse than it does to their offense. And, you know, once we were able to do that on a consistent basis and then put more pressure on their offense by our offense scoring some points, then it it really played into our hands.
Everybody talks about halftime adjustments. I think that when you look at the numbers from what you went in with and what you're dealing with, and then you came out, completely shut South Florida out, it's very impressive. Tell us what went on at halftime.
Well, I think first and foremost was, you know, our players just taking their leadership role to a new level, you know, starting with a guy like CeCe Mainoa Francis, and making sure everyone understood, like, look, enough of the post-snap penalties. You know, we know how to play football. This is not our standard. And we're going to play our standard. And then just making the adjustments necessary in both the run game, the pass game, defensively, right, how to line up quicker their tempos, switch a couple things from a coverage standpoint, and give them some multiple looks up front that caused some confusion and gave us some great down and distance situations.
Probably worth noting, because we mentioned this last week on the show, that in the third quarter, they had outscored their opponent 38-0. You had outscored your opponent 45-3, and after the game, it's now 64-3 for Miami, or 63-3 Miami, and 38-14 for them, because you put 14 on them, and 36 straight points you put on South Florida.
Well, you know, we're blessed to have an awesome coaching staff, and we're blessed to have awesome players that truly, like, take a lot of pride in listening and making those adjustments, knowing that it's going to be for the better of the football team. So the use of technology has been great. I mean, that really has been a great addition. We've used it wisely without overdoing it. And again, both coordinators have just dialed up some really good plans.
Coach, you go into that ball game facing a defense that threw something at you almost every single down, zero sacks allowed.
Yeah, every single down. Every single down, it's coming from the corner, the safety, the inside linebackers, cross blitz, double A's, you name it. Every single play, there's pressure and there's movement and man coverage behind it. So you got to hold up, and we kept Cam clean for the most part and came out with zero sacks.
Big plays, again, another big element for the Miami offense. You had 15 plays, 15 yards or more in this game. You know, I believe you lead the country in that category right now, but those big plays, not only if some of them are big plays, but they're going for touchdowns, big plays for touchdowns. They're ending up in the end zone.
Certainly one of the categories that really shows up in favor of your team when in terms of the win and loss column. When you're able to get explosive plays and make those drives a little bit shorter, a little bit more manageable. And I think we've also shown the ability to have sustained drives. You know, and I think it gives everyone a boost when you're able to score. Like we did on Saturday, the defense gets excited. They get to go out there and play, put their cleats in the ground, and get off and make some plays. So it was a total team effort. And again, just really proud of our players.
Coach, a 91-yard run that now is the record at the University of Miami. Lyle enjoyed it. We spoke to him in the post-game conversation. He was excited, but he said he couldn't get caught. There's no way that he was going to get caught.
Yeah, it would have been bad for him in the locker room if he did.
Yeah,
well, we see him practice all the time. That's what he does. That's what he is. He's got – people say, oh, he's got a great future. No, he's got a great present, like now. Like, he's part of the now plan as well. And that guy is just continuing to get better and better.
You had – in all the drives, did not have any drives less than 75 yards, which also has been kind of a theme this year. You mentioned you're having some long drives, which gets to the high level of execution, which then probably gets to what you're doing in practice.
Well, we feel that our practice and preparation do become our game reality. We feel that the way we honor Green Tree Practice Field is showing up on game day more and more. And that was something that was a big point of contention for our program. Ever since the alumni reunion this past spring, that was driven home, and our players have taken that to heart, and they've made it real.
Damian Martinez, 3 rushing touchdowns, but had 50 yards receiving, and that talent of his has kind of gone unnoticed because he haven't really had the chance to catch the football, but he's adapted that.
You know what? He has, and the ball has been spread around to just about everybody on our team at some point in time or another, meaning every position on the team. And Damian continues to just show that, you know, why he's such a valuable player to this organization.
Restrepo now has over 2,000 career yards receiving. He's on one end. And who knows, this kid might catch him at some point, but you see the development of Isaiah Horton. He's making some really big plays for you.
Yeah, he is, and he's a perfect example of college football development, right, and the cycle that comes with that. You know, and he's really worked himself into being a really good football player, and sky's the limit for him. And we're really happy for him with the amount of time and effort he's put into it to have a game like he did on Saturday.
Simeon Barrow showed his range. I mean, he was making tackles outside the defensive ends. He was running all over the place, had tackles for losses and sacks. These last 2 weeks have been special for him.
Yeah, Simeon is excellent football player, relentless competitor, strong, powerful, and really is starting to feel comfortable within the scheme. So even better days are ahead for him.
Coach, can we pick up on something you said earlier this week about the layering of your team? And when you have the proper layering on your roster, it takes a lot of pressure off the younger guys. Because now they have leadership in front of them, and they don't have to be counted on to make all the big plays as if maybe they were years ago, because you have the right kind of layering.
Yeah, and the good thing is that when they prove that they are worthy of playing time, they get it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reservation. It's not like we don't want to hold a guy to the fourth quarter if a game's in hand. If a guy's ready to play, he's ready to play, and he's thrown in there. And I think a credit goes, of course, to them first, but also their teammates for preparing them, making iron sharpens iron a real concept on our practice field, and the coaches for helping them in their development. So we're going to stay along the lines of playing a lot of guys, you know, as long as they keep earning it.
The value of Mesidor, his ability to play all four spots across the line, and it seems like he's getting in condition and stronger and just has it all working at the same time.
Yeah, he's invaluable. You know, he does it all, and he plays with a motor that's really unmatched. He's powerful, strong, athletic, fast, can play the edge, can play inside, can play head up on the center, just can do it all. So there's nothing that he can't go in there and do. So it gives us a lot of versatility on defense.
Mm. Well, say on defense, Kiko Maui-Noah has been a mauler the last 2 weeks. 11 tackles in this game against South Florida. It seems as if he's everywhere.
He is. I mean, that's what he's always been since he's been here. He was at Washington State as well. Again, my Noah family, just in general, just awesome people, really, really hard workers, very team oriented, very much into impacting others. And man, he has impacted this program in such a big way. We expect him to be a really good player. Just really humbled by his loyalty and allegiance to us. And so we're really happy to see him have the kind of success he's having.
Andy Borregales just keeps kicking him through, quietly having a fantastic year.
He is. And that, you want to see those guys go down there and cover, but it's okay to boot that thing out the end zone too, right, and start the ball down there. So Andy is, he's primed and ready for some really big time opportunities, but we'll always take touchdowns over field goals.
You've also had three straight games of 50 points or more, which is a first. 209 points to start the season, that's more than ever before. So offensively, you're piling up some pretty savory numbers here.
You know, it's great, but all focus is on the opening of conference play. You know, we're very appreciative of the opportunities we had in non-conference play and certainly got better, improved in a lot of different areas. But every bit of our focus is on Virginia Tech, the great team that they have, and playing to the standard and getting better, you know, knowing that we're playing against a great football team.
Everybody talks about game day coaching, and I want to talk about the week before the game coaching. Mm-hmm. A perfect example is that you actually ran two huddles at one time, mm-hmm, for the defense to face to handle that tempo, and you go back to the Florida game with blasting the noise all summer long. It pays off, and, I mean, it translated to a successful day.
There's no doubt. I mean, you play the game before you play the game. Mm-hmm. You know, and the best thing a coach can do is have an organized, detailed, challenging practice. And it's the best thing you can do, and it's got to be as game-like as humanly possible to every detail possible. That's how you get players ready. That's how you gain trust and confidence from players and them in themselves to be able to perform on game day.
Okay, more of the Mario Cristobal Show still to come a little bit later on. Simeon Barrow and Tyler Barron will join us, as will Brett McMurphy. That's all coming up on the Hurricane Hotline. Let me talk to you for a moment about Miami's luxury dealership, which was founded over 50 years ago. They are more than a dealership. They are our friends. They are our neighbors. They are our family. They have built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience, because customers are treated like family. And if you want to enjoy world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac, then the place to go is Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac. Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol, general manager over there, Jeff Rogers. They do an unbelievable job, and you will not be disappointed. Jermaine Chambers, former University of Miami wide receiver, on the staff there. You want a new Cadillac? Look up Jermaine Chambers when you walk in, and you'll drive out with a new Cadillac. You will never be disappointed at Williamson Cadillac. You will experience a preferred atmosphere, and it is easy to find. Located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, or online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. I'm driving the XT4 right now, but they've got everything. I mean, everything in stock. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and of course, the all new electric Lyric. You want great customer service? It is Williamson Cadillac. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, Friday night, it is Miami and Virginia Tech at Hard Rock Stadium, 7:30 kickoff. Friday night, under the lights, the 40th meeting between the Hurricanes and the Hokies. Miami leads the all-time series 25-15, has won three in a row. This Virginia Tech team comes in, maybe a little bit wounded and angry and all that, but they return 95% of their players on offense from a year ago, nearly 80% of their players from their defense a year ago. So they've got a lot of experience in their system.
Yeah, we don't see a wounded team at all on tape. We see the best team that we have played thus far. We see a defensive line that, you know, they're top 10, top 5 in the country in sacks. They're disruptive. They're explosive. They're complemented by a lot of length and athleticism on the back end. Their linebackers get downhill in a hurry, and they do an unbelievable job tackling and getting guys on the ground. And they've got 20 of 22 starters returning. You know, and it starts with their quarterback and their running back, and it goes out to their receivers and that massive offensive line. These guys, you know, have been picked to win the conference by several. They've been picked to be a college football playoff team as well for the right reasons. They have great coaches. They got great players. They play really, really hard. We always know that that program has always been tough, has always been physical, and we're looking forward to a great challenge on Friday.
Coach, on the defensive side of the ball, it almost looks like Bud Foster never left. I mean, he's the former defensive coordinator who created problems for the Big East and the ACC for every second that he was there. How do they keep reloading that defense and making it difficult?
I think it's part of what they are, part of their DNA, you know, and Coach Pry, he brings so much of that, you know, for all the stops he's had over the years. And he's certainly done a great job enhancing that roster and continuing some of the great traditions that they've had there. And he's put together a great football team, you know. So, again, we're looking forward to a great challenge.
Antoine Powell Ryland, he's a game record, 6.5 sacks. Mm-hmm. Had a great season a year ago. What makes him so effective?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, he's explosive. He's twitchy. He is fast. He's relentless. His motor's off the charts. He's got every imaginable move, you know, spin move, dip, rip, club, pull. I mean, he's double moves, out and out, name it. I could go on and on and on about what he does. He uses his hands extremely well. He understands angles. You could tell he studies offensive linemen and their sets because he attacks their weaknesses. And he closes. He closes on ball carriers and on quarterbacks in a manner that, again, it, there's a reason why he's regarded as one of the best players in the country.
When you say special teams and Virginia Tech, they seem to go together and nothing has changed there. They've got great special teams.
They do. They got. They challenge you in every way. They challenge your kicking game. They make sure that, that there are no – they don't leave their nose open. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They do a great job. So they always have, so we expect the same on Friday.
And they've always produced really good dudes in the secondary. They got a couple of good ones now. Delaney's really good. Strong's really good. Strom's very good. So those two guys in the corner, what problems do they present for your passing game?
They are overall, they're just a very senior-laden, upperclassman-driven organization. And the guys that aren't seniors, they have a lot of playing experience. They're long in the back end, got a lot of length. They're really fast, and they have excellent hips and feet. I mean, really, really like high-level foot and body quickness, transition really well. They understand passing patterns. They understand route concepts. And they drive on the ball with purpose and intent. So they're just a really good secondary.
Coach, give us some insight on how you manage a short week.
I mean, you just scrunch those 24 hours and you spread it out, you know, throughout the rest of the week. It's there's some challenges that come with it, but it's not as challenging as what the NFL has, you know, a Sunday to Thursday. It's not. And, you know, we've seen, I feel like we see a lot of football when we play against each other, you know, in practice. And it's not unique to us, you know, Virginia Tech faces the same situation. So, you know, we're smart with the way we practice, but we certainly aren't going to miss reps that are going to help us in our opportunity on Friday.
It's another dual threat quarterback, but I think one of the things that stands out to me is he's as big as a linebacker. He's 235 pounds.
Yeah, he is. He's as dangerous as it comes in college football nowadays. There's a reason he's regarded as one of the best players in college football, and he's one of the reasons why that team can go. You know, he is, again, he's a guy that we're looking forward to playing against.
Coach, explain to us how you decide playing time, short week, long week, it doesn't matter. But how is the process done when you come into a ball game trying to get the other players in?
Absolutely. We assess film. You know, we assess film both the previous game and the week of practice. If there's ever, you know, if it comes really close and there's some type of tie, then you go right to the classroom, making sure you're on time to all your appointments from the training room to your academic appointments, tutoring, all that stuff. But going back to the original part, yeah, it's earned. You know, that tape is on display every single day in front of the entire team. And if it doesn't matter the age, where you come from, how old you are, all that stuff, if you show that you can play winning football for the University of Miami Hurricanes, you're going to play. We're going to get you on the field.
Coach, the red area, the red zone area, both sides. In the last game, defensively, you had some big red zone stops. They had to settle for field goals. I thought that was big. And then offensively, your touchdown numbers in the red zone are approaching 70%. So those continue to climb. What makes a good red zone team on both sides of the ball?
Execution. It really is. It's that simple. I know it sounds very, you know, mundane, very just bland. But, you know, last year we looked at two statistics that we really want to make a big jump at. And one of them was turnovers, right? We were turning it over more and not causing enough. And the other one was the red zone, right? We're getting down there. We're having some really good opportunities, but we were coming up a little bit short. We weren't as explosive. You know, we had a lot more longer drives, more sustainable, you know, lengthy drives. And now all of a sudden, I think our level of execution, our level of awareness, understanding situational football has allowed us to take execution of both defense and offense to another level.
Coach, defensively, everybody wants to talk about the takeaway. And then as far as quarterback pressure, though, I think that's kind of a quiet area which Miami's done a phenomenal job, and it creates all the problems for the offense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, protecting the guy that's throwing the ball and affecting the guy on the other side are always here. And they're always trying to affect our quarterback. And on Friday, we expect the same thing. They're going to bring the world at him to try to affect him and get him off schedule. You know, you see it in everything you read from them, right? Well, if the quarterback is off, right, you can really impact the game, and all of a sudden people can become one-dimensional. So certainly on both sides of the ball, the trenches have stepped up and have played well. But when you watch tape, both sides will tell you we could get a heck of a lot better, and that's what our focus is right now. We just got to keep getting better and better and better.
We've gone through most of the entire show and did not mention Cam Ward. He threw for 400 yards And I think he probably, what he mentioned to Don is what you just said. He thinks he can still get better, but there's a long way to go in his game.
Yeah, he is. He's relentless. It's the best way to describe him. Proactive, relentless, unfazed, hungry, driven, team player, all about the team. So we, you know, he doesn't have a bad day as a competitor. He just doesn't. And today was another example of that. We expect to come in tomorrow and get after everybody.
But the other thing is he's contagious.
He is.
Yeah. His personality is running through this team.
You know, I don't think there's any position in sports that affects a team or an organization more than a college football quarterback. Maybe I don't know enough about some other, you know, sports and whatnot. But, man, that position, the way he's impacted this team, it's been massive. And like you mentioned, it's contagious. So let's keep spreading it.
Quick note, hit you up a little bit on the recruiting world here real fast. It's interesting to me today in high school football in our area, the matchups you see. For example, Central's playing American Heritage last week, and Chaminade's playing Norland, the county matchups. I don't know if we had that maybe when you guys played, but that makes the gauntlet even tougher for these kids to go through. How much, because of that experience, how much better does that make them locally? And then on a national front, there's great high school football being played in a lot of places now.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, that's why a Reuben Bain could come in here and be a freshman All-American, mm-hmm. right? Playing right down the road in Central against high-level competition. Why Francis Minot could go up to IMG and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, play at a high level, be a freshman All-American. That's why Mark Fletcher over at Heritage and Jordan Law at St. Thomas or OJ at St. Thomas, they could step right in and bam, all of a sudden become really impactful players. They've been doing this since they've been knee high. Right. So, and they've been doing it in parks and parking lots in front of a ton of people in different stadiums. They're coached by excellent football coaches. All these guys have had great head coaches, position coaches, and they're pushed and they have great regimen and great structure. And so it's the type of guys you want in your program.
It's really a blessing for these players because I've been around all these clinics for years, and the high school coaches here may be some of the biggest or the largest group of unsung heroes in our community. I mean, they actually change people's lives.
They do. I mean, to this day, I know that my high school coach is the reason that I coach. Most impactful person. You know, my parents, they were too busy doing, you know, work all day, all night. So the high school coaches down here do not get anywhere near the credit they deserve for the hours they put in. They do it for just about nothing, mm-hmm. you know, and certainly I think everyone needs to advocate for them to help them, you know, as they continue to push forward and help groom and develop the future, you know.
You have two guys in your staff that had an interested eye last week on the Central Heritage game, Coach Smith and Coach Rumpfer. Mm-hmm. Kind of keeping a little bit of an eye on that one. At any rate, Friday night, Miami and Virginia Tech. Coach, the very best of luck. Looking for a big crowd there for Friday night. This team certainly deserves that kind of welcome home.
Amen. Bring it. Go Canes.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal, and we will continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Happy to welcome you back to the show. Trevor Harris is our producer. Canes and Hokies on Friday night, 7:30 here on QAM, also Odyssey.com. as well, or the Miami Hurricanes app. So plenty of places to find the game on Friday night. 7:30 kickoff will be on the air at 3:30. Don Bailey Jr. will be right next to me. And DBJ, I think one of the things I wanted to hit you with, going back to the South Florida game, you brought it up a little bit with Cristobal, but maybe walk our audience through how Miami dealt in practice, with the tempo of South Florida. What did they do to get them ready? What did they do to get the defense ready for that tempo?
Well, what was great is it showed an extreme focus of your head coach and him trying to figure out how to prepare the defense. And they basically ran two full teams, scout teams, giving the defense a look, and they would huddle, you know, they would not, they'd start at the line of scrimmage, they'd run a play, and then immediately the next line of scrimmage and the next offense was ready to go. So the defense had to be in a rapid fire mode to where they would be able to adjust, and they were literally running multiple plays every, you know, 10, 12, 14 seconds, 15 seconds to give the defense a true look and to help them understand the intensity that they have to have in making their calls and making sure that their calls are right. And, you know, Coach did a – Cristobal did a phenomenal job, Joe, you know, preparing Miami for noise against Florida. And here was another example of him doing an excellent job of preparing his defense for USF, who, you know, in real time, it's about every 12 to 15 seconds they run a play, and that's how they practice. So it wasn't a shock to their bodies, and it wasn't a shock to their mind, or it didn't hamper their communication. So he did a heck of a job of preparing them for that.
I bring it up because it's not like the average fan is going to go to a football practice and they're not going to really understand what goes on in practice. Most people could stand on the sidelines in football practice and not know what it is. I think the perception is that they just run plays against each other. You know, first team runs plays against defense. But there's a lot more things that are more complicated in football practice. And to get ready for the South Florida offense, as you mentioned, they had two scout teams going at the same time, which is pretty darn good.
I mean, just try to think about the organization of that. You know what I mean? You're limited. You know, most colleges are limited in numbers anyway, and then you've got to get guys on the field and the quarter, every position. I mean, it just wasn't the line of scrimmage. I mean, they were running the plays that were set up, you know, to give the first team and or alternates the best look that you could on defense, those defensive guys, and it worked. And you know, that's why. I don't know if he does it every time, Joe, but it seems every other time we're with Coach Cristobal, he brings up, you know, the walk-ons and the scout team. And he honors those guys every single week that they win a football game on the, let's say, what, the day after the first meeting of the week. The first thing that is what he does is, you know, he honors the scout team and he honors the guys that have had great games, and he makes sure that they are recognized not once in a while, but every single week that they win a football game.
There were two instances in the game on Saturday that went under the radar because a lot of things went on in that game Saturday night. There were two things that went under the radar, two plays, and both of them were timeouts. Mario Cristobal called a timeout in the second quarter after or during South Florida's what seemed like 1,000 play drive.
Right.
Just couldn't get him off the field. He just kept going and going and going. He called a timeout. Most likely the defense was gassed. So it gave them a little bit of a rest, maybe disrupted the USF offense. I don't know. But it held them to a field goal, which was a win for Miami because it was a 15 or 16 play drive. The same thing happened. I think it was the third quarter. They marched the ball down the field. Maybe it was the beginning of the fourth quarter. And it was the timeout where Jason Taylor was not happy. His chili was warmed up. But again, the defense was kind of gassed. And again, after the timeout, the defense made a big play and held them to a field goal.
Well, you've got to credit your head coach with
actually, they didn't get a field goal in the third quarter. It was we held them on. I think they held them on downs.
Well, a couple things there, right? You held them on downs on that second job that you're talking about, but can you imagine the frustration of USF's offense of going on a 15 or 16 play drive and only coming up with 3 points? And look, their kicker could have made it from the other end zone. You know, that guy was the other kicker, Gramatica, was phenomenal. But you know, that's listening to the information you're given on how your team's playing from somebody probably in the press box or on the sideline. But more importantly, that's really about knowing the heartbeat and the conditioning of your team. And he's watching everything, but and seeing more than anybody. And, you know, I'm sure that it was either somebody either made him aware of that or he recognized it himself and decided, hey, I don't earn interest on these timeouts. So we're going to use them and it's going to benefit this football team. And he couldn't have played it any better.
Yeah. So maybe it was maybe the second one resulted, and maybe it was the missed field goal. I don't know. There were so many plays in the first half that it all starts to blend together. At any rate, I thought the two timeouts, it kept them, helped keep them out of the end zone. And Miami had excellent red zone defense, and that had to be frustrating to South Florida not to be able to finish drives. We move ahead to Virginia Tech on Friday night. And so I'm doing my prep, and I kind of look back at Virginia Tech, and Coach Pry is trying to bring back a lot of what Virginia Tech stood for under Frank Beamer. So I just went back on some of my notes, and you know what stands out is I have this little note: when Miami has played Virginia Tech well, Miami has stopped the run, and that applies to this game on Friday.
Absolutely, you can use that as our number one key on Friday night. Just ask me that one right out of the bag. And it, you know, because it goes with their defense too, and it goes with their special teams. And, you know, their coach has made sure that Coach Pry has made sure that he is going to reincarnate Virginia Tech to what they were in the past. And, you know, that was a Bud Foster style of defense, which it's not exactly the same, but it's very similar. It's today's version. And an offense that has success running the football almost at will. And then a quarterback that can cause you problems. And they've had good guys in the secondary. I think that there's no question that they've improved their recruiting and that they are, you know, they are giving every opponent a hard time. And I can tell you, you know, you look at the loss, a seven-point loss to Vanderbilt in overtime. Nobody wants to play Vanderbilt. They're a far better team than is advertised, or at least the name represents. And they go on and, you know, beat Marshall handedly, and then, of course, they beat Old Dominion. But I watched quite a bit of that Rutgers game, and Rutgers is a darn good football team. I mean, about as good as you can come up with, and they hadn't lost. You know, they won the bowl game against Miami, and they haven't lost since. So Rutgers is a good example of how Virginia Tech will hold up physically. Because Rutgers is a physical bunch, but so is Virginia Tech. It's going to be interesting to see, Joe. I think Miami will win this football game. I think they're well prepared, but it's, you know, it may be a similar type of game as we had last week.
Virginia Tech has been a bit disappointing on offense, and some in their local media have called them inept on offense. But you never know when that stuff clicks. You just never know when all of a sudden somebody gets hot. And Drones, he played very well for them last season. Had a very good year last year. Has had trouble landing the deep ball. Last year ran for 818 yards and 5 touchdowns. The offense is going to run through him. And he's a big part of their game. He's going to run the quarterback draw. Last year, he completed 58% of his passes, had 17 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So I don't think he forgot how to play.
Well, I think you really got to look at that, Joe. I mean, he's, like you said, he's started 17 games at Virginia Tech and has done a phenomenal job. He's, you know, he's probably almost a 60% passer, and in those 2 years, he's darn near 3,000 yards passing. So I think that he's a guy that presents problems. And you thought that quarterback last week was big. This guy's 6'2", 235. So, this is a whole nother size of quarterback. And, you know, he had 22 completions against
Vanderbilt.
He's
bigger than Wesley Bissaint.
Yeah, he's bigger. Yeah. And you're not kidding, right?
Yeah. By weight wise, he might be bigger than Maui Noah.
Yeah, he's about the size of Maui Noah. They're yeah. Probably gonna. That's your collision, right? That's your collision of the game, right? Right there. That's the one that. You'll have a line for it. So that'll be your collision of the game. But you know, when you have a guy like that in today's world, and what I mean by today's world, what he's able to run, he's got a good enough arm to help you pass. Like I said, he's almost at 60%. But there's a reason why he was up for the Maxwell and the Davy and the Manning and the Unitas and the Earl Campbell Award watch. So, I mean, all those awards that he was up for, there's a reason, because he's productive and he works for them. And let's go back, Joe. You and I have been a part of this Virginia Tech thing forever. I mean, I played against them twice, I think, when I was in college, and there nothing much has changed as far as when you say Virginia Tech, what do you think of? And really, they just have always hit the next level if they had a great quarterback, whether it was, you know, the two Vicks or it was Druckenmiller. And I, you know, I can go through the list here, but they're a good team, and you know, they've got the most returning starters, I think, in the ACC, and we see what that means. That's your and I's mantra forever. Give me returning starters, give me experience, and good things will happen.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk with two guys that are going to have something to do with how well Drones does on Friday night, and they've been great so far. Barrow, Simeon Barrow, and Tyler Barron. We'll talk with them, or I spoke with them earlier. Don and I will talk about that when we come back as we continue on the Hurricane Hotline after this.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.